And you're listening to KUAR 89.1. It's 1:33. We are about to tune into the governor's weekly COVID-19 briefing. Yesterday saw cases total 807. The total number of cases cumulative is 82,049. The state also added 21 deaths, bringing the death toll to 1,329. And the governor is now approaching the podium. And again, this is the weekly COVID-19 briefing by Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Good afternoon. First, welcome to today's weekly COVID update. I'm pleased to be wearing a Project Zero mask today, a great organization that helps foster parents and adoption, and we really appreciate Project Zero. First, thank you to Secretary Romero and Secretary Key for joining me today. And I first want to recognize the life, the contributions, and the service of Superintendent Jody Jenkins of Atkins, who passed away early this morning from COVID-related complications. I know that he was highly respected throughout the River Valley for his devotion to his family, for his love of sports and love of education, and he will be missed, and I wanted to recognize his life and service that he gave. I said that today that I would mention and discuss briefly the White House task force and their report that they issue once a week for the states, and I will mention that, and the good news from that report is that while we're still in the red zone for cases, and I want to recognize that as a continued challenge for us, they do have us the yellow zone for test positivity, which I'll discuss more at length, but it also said in the second paragraph of the summary of the report that Arkansas has seen stability in new cases and stability in test positivity over the last week. And so it is important to recognize what they see in terms of national experts on trend lines. They see some stability. And so people who like to know that the discipline that they're exercising makes a difference, I think this demonstrates that it can make a difference, and we are careful about our behavior. It goes on and talks about the cases, though, and that's too high. It's above the national average, and we will speak to that also during the course today. I also wanted to mention that the White House has continued to support Arkansas and the other governors in terms of testing capacity. And as you can see from the number of tests that we're doing, that we are receiving the supplies, we're receiving the support to a greater extent from our commercial labs. And then yesterday, of course, the White House announced that they had purchased 150 million Abbott Lab Binex Now, which are rapid point of care tests that are simple. They're within 15 minutes, you'll have a result. They are going to distribute and allocate to Arkansas 900,000 of those tests, and we will have 59,000 of them, 59,000 that will be shipped within the next 10 days is what we're advised. Next 10 days, Dr. Romero and I and the Health Department team will be developing the plan to utilize this allocation of rapid response tests that will be really beneficial to us in terms of our schools, in terms of our prisons, in terms of nursing homes, but we hope that we'll have sufficient quantity even to go beyond that. And so we're continuing to increase our testing capacity, and we're grateful for this support from the White House. And then if I might talk about the schools for just a second, I believe this is our first slide. I asked them to take a look at the active cases that we have in our K through 12, as well as in our higher education, and see you know, how we are today compared with where we were a week ago. And so you can see here that the week beginning September 21, we had 740 active cases, and that's the most relevant statistic, active cases in K through 12 public schools. And then in the week, that was reduced to 717. So we're down from where we were a week ago in active cases. The college and universities are even more dramatic than that. We had 701 cases a week ago. That's down to 490. And so actions make a difference. And the clear steps that have been made at the college level particularly have reduced active cases. Students have responded with more discipline, with understanding what's at risk, and wanted to recognize that progress. K through 12, that's progress, so we hope that we can continue to make that, but very proud of our educators and what they're doing in terms of having an environment that we can have our education progress through the course of the year in a safe environment. And then we'll go on to our cases that I will cover. Just leave that chart there for a second. And over the last 24 hours, we have had an additional 482 cases in Arkansas of COVID. That brings our total over the 80,000 mark to 80,003. We have six fewer hospitalizations, so it brings our hospitalized down to 490, which I'm glad to see because I just remember that high water mark of 520, and I want to stay under that, obviously. I'm encouraged. We check around the hospitals. There is that capacity, but I was glad to see that number go down today. Regretfully, and we have an additional 21 Arkansans that have died. That brings our total to 1,204. A constant reminder of the seriousness of this virus and how it can hit people who may be vulnerable, but even the healthy can be hit with it. And we have to treat it seriously because it's caused over 1,200 deaths here in Arkansas. And so you can see it on the trend line there, and the next will be the rolling average, and this is what is most reflective of the trend line. And while we're not skyrocketing, and we're a little bit flat, as the White House said, a leveling off of cases, we've got more work to do. That is, when I say the bright spot is our positivity rate, our challenge is the number of cases, because the higher number of cases we have obviously will lead to more hospitalizations, and a percent of those will die down the road. And so that's what makes me concerned when we see a high number of cases any particular day. Obviously, we're glad with a fewer number of cases today. And then the number of active cases is down the last couple of days, and that is encouraging. Hospitalization, again, as I indicated, it's not at the peak, but we got to watch that. And then this is one I asked for, and I mentioned before our winter strategy. And part of our winter strategy was to reach 1 million PCR tests in Arkansas since we began. And you remember those dark days whenever we had limited testing capacity, we had to build our testing capacity, and how that has accelerated to now, we have tested over 1 million, we can't say 1 million Arkansans, but we have tested Arkansans 1 million times over the course of this pandemic. So we have reached that goal, and we're going to continue to test to make sure that we can test 6% of our population every month. And then we'll also see, just for this month, in terms of antigen tests, we've done over 21,000, so we've actually doubled our goal there in antigen tests. We continue to see that increased. I think we'll see that used in the future. The 7-day rolling average of positivity, this is the good news story that now we are at least are tipping right around the 6% in the 7-day rolling average. So the positivity rate is going down. We wanted to look at this, and this is by public health, this is by age group. And this is instructive because as we've shown this from time to time in the past, you've seen that most recently the largest growth area has been 18 to 24 or 0 to 17, particularly 18 to 24. But this is the growth rate from September 20th to September 26th by age group, and we've seen an increase in cases in the 65 plus, and so that's a little different than what we've seen in previous weeks. And then the next one breaks it down by public health regions, and this is the same growth rate September 20th through September 26th. And you can see that the highest growth rate in that period of time is by percentage is 9.4% in the Northeast, followed by the Southeast at 7.1%, Central 6.9%, Northwest in terms of growth rate is at 5%, and Southwest at 5.2%. This is percentage, and so the numbers, the actual numbers, is higher, of course, in the Northwest than in some of the other districts. And this is the one we like to show. We'll start doing this once a week now. But this is a trend line for each of the public health regions. And it just reminds us that we have challenges. We have to continue to work hard. And so the top one is the orange, is in the Northwest. That is the most active in terms of new cases. And then followed by the yellow, which is the central Arkansas area, followed by the blue, the Northeast, the red in the Southeast, and the green in the Southwest. And so if you're in those regions, you can go look on the public health map. You can see what the breakdown is by county, but this shows the region of the state and the number of new cases by rolling average in those different regions. And with that, I did want to point out that we had we had our PCR testing, 5,394 over the last 24 hours. We've had antigen tests of 1,167 with 217 of those that are positive. And as I said, both of those continue to remain strong. With that, let me ask Secretary Romero to come. That'll give some more detail. And then I'll ask Secretary Key to come to the microphone to elaborate a little bit more on where we are in the educational system.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero, who is now coming to the podium.
Thank you, Governor. So a little more detail of the 482 new cases. 476 were in the community. 606 cases were correctional cases. We have added 756 persons to our roll of recovered individuals for the state. We are now at 72,265 Arkansans recovered from COVID. With regard to the deaths, as the governor reported, there are 21 new deaths to be added to the rolls. These are all not delayed death reports. 9 of these cases occurred in nursing home residents, again indicating the fragility and the risk factors involved in being in the older age group. These cases showed no clustering in terms of nursing home institution, correctional institution, or in county. With regard to the counties that are positive, we only have 4 that are 20 or above. 65 cases were reported in Washington County, followed by Pulaski at 47, Sebastian at 33, and Benton at 31. We have a total of 706 new cases, adding PCR confirmed cases and probable cases. So with that, then I'll turn the podium over. But before I wish to do that, as I was walking out the door to attend this press conference, my administrator stopped me and wished to communicate that a citizen had called the office literally minutes before I left, and she wanted me to ask everybody, the public, retailers, everybody in the state of Arkansas, to remind them that the use of the mask, while we are using them, what this individual noted was that they were a lot of persons were using the mask incorrectly, and were wearing the mask below the nose, which we all know doesn't really serve a benefit. So she asked that I please pass this on again today at today's press conference. I want to again reiterate that it's important to wear the mask correctly, to have it covering the nose, covering the mouth. That's the way you prevent spread of the virus. So thank you very much.
And this is Education Secretary Johnny Key.
So as of about 12 o'clock today, we are reporting 36 schools that are currently under some modification of their operations. 93 have inactive modifications, which means that they have made modifications and now have returned to regular on-site instruction. Last week, we saw 26 of these modifications that took place. That was an increase over the previous weeks. And I've visited with Dr. Romero about this, and we theorize that that is a reflection of the Labor Day weekend and the activities and things that were going on that Labor Day weekend. We hope to see that decline. We also know that districts continue to work with their teachers in their with their Ready for Learning plan. We continue to get feedback from teachers that the balance between the virtual and the on-site needs to be looked at. We are working with districts to make those modifications within their plans, working with their Ready for Learning committees to make those adjustments so as to relieve some of that stress that's currently on the teachers now. And continue to provide that support. The other thing I want to say too is, as we've been asked about the changes and cancellations of football games, I would just want to remind that that is exactly what we have asked them to do. When we set forth before the school year began, looking at the response levels and some of the activities that needed to be curtailed depending on the data locally, those are the things that we would have expected them to do. We believe they're doing it very well. They are looking at each week what they need to do and the changes they need to make. So I would just say that as an overall assessment, our school districts are continuing to do a good job in coping and dealing with this current pandemic.
Thank you, Johnny. And put up one more slide, if you might. This is one. I want to draw attention to this. I asked them to look at the county positivity rate. We show this from time to time, and this is the last week's numbers, and then this is the this week's positivity number. It's a rolling average. 14-day percent positivity. And so Pulaski County, for example, last time was 5.3%, and now it is 4.8% positivity rate. So while Pulaski County has had usually the top county in terms of the actual number of new cases, their positivity rate, they've continued to make progress, so that now it is the 14-day rolling average is actually below 5%. So I wanted to applaud Pulaski County. I think you've made progress. You can also see Benton County was 8.3%. Now it's down to 7.9%, going in the right direction. The red areas, sometimes you don't have the same volume of numbers, but those are the ones, of course, that have a higher positivity rate that we want to be able to get that down. And it serves as a reminder that there is a community spread in some of those red areas across the state. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
In the White House report, I was just wondering, they had some recommendations on testing, like increased the testing in Northeast and I think Southwest Arkansas, and doing more like routine testing of college students. Just wondering what you thought about their recommendation.
We take all the recommendations seriously. We try to evaluate them to see whether we're doing enough. Obviously, you can see from our testing is very robust all across the state. But, you know, as we see areas of concern, we will try to increase the testing there. Some of that's dependent upon demand, but the demand seems to be significant enough that gives us a good understand depth of the virus in that particular community and allows us to do our contact tracing. So we get the testing in those areas that are needed.
Pretty good numbers the past week in terms of just the amount of positive cases that have started to come up. Is there any explanation as to where or maybe just the reason behind why we're seeing such a spike in just those numbers right now?
It's a combination of the spread being around Arkansas and that we're doing a significant amount of testing everywhere and people actually are going in and getting tests. And so that's, I think, reflective of the cases that we see. But it's settling in, even though it is flat, it is at too high of a level. And we would like to see that go down. I'm hopeful, and history says, and Dr. Merrill might want to comment on this, but as you see the positivity rate go down and you're doing sufficient testing, eventually those cases will go down. So that's our hope, that when the positivity rate goes down, you should be seeing at some point in time the case go down as well. Dr. Romero?
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
Thank you, Governor. So we do want to see the positivity rate in the state go down. That indicates that less and less individuals are becoming infected. Therefore, there's less and less of a chance of transmitting. Everything should go down from there. Hospitalizations should go down and deaths should go down. So we're making slow but progress forward in decreasing the total positivity rate in the state. We're following the positivity rate each week and it has been decreasing. So we're achieving that goal, but it will take time to reach a definite low point.
Understanding that the state is offering K-12 schools rapid response testing through the Department of Health, are there any of these K-12 schools that have declined using this assistance, and if so, why?
The testing that we're making available for K-12 is through our public health units, our county health offices, that they have the antigen test that is quick response, and that has a priority our educational institutions. And so if a teacher or student needs that rapid test, they have the priority as they go there. I'm not aware of any resistance to that, but let me ask, do you have a comment on that, Dr. Romero?
So we have from the very beginning had the ability to perform rapid antigen testing at the health department and backing that up for negatives with a rapid PCR being done within 24 hours. In addition to that, we have what it was described originally as strike teams. There are 11 of these teams that can go out specifically to schools as necessary if there is an outbreak. So we can offer directly testing in an area near the school, a parking lot, et cetera. So there are multiple ways of testing rapidly at these sites.
I
have not heard of any cases as of yet.
And Secretary Key, I just saw him nod and affirm that he's not aware of any school that have declined that assistance. Leslie, did you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. As you know, are aware, the Little Rock teachers the teachers union has wanted to teach virtually. What if we don't want them to teach virtually because we don't think that that's the best kind of situation for the children, then why are we expanding the virtual academy?
So virtual is an option in education. And so there, in the Little Rock School District, a very high percent of students actually chose virtual, and we have supported the virtual education through our Little Rock School District. But we've also offered in-classroom instruction, and that's an important part of the equation as well. And if you had teachers that said, that's all we want to do is virtual, then you're eliminating that option for parents and students that really need that in-classroom instruction and chose to have that option. So we're giving parents a choice, and we want to make sure that choice is available, and it takes teachers' assistance in order to accomplish that. Johnny, do you have anything?
I think it needs to be very clear that the union's demands for 100% virtual, as the governor said, leave students out. We said from outset last April that our expectation is schools would be on site providing virtual options. The options are at the discretion of the parents, and the district has been very flexible in working with parents to make those options available. They've also worked with the teachers to accommodate certain situations where you know they could make sure teachers needs are met. So I think the issue, though, becomes when you're setting demands that are unreasonable to say we're only going to teach virtually until these things happen. That leaves parents out. That leaves students out. And it doesn't meet their needs. And we need to continue to do that to have a successful school year.
And this is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. We are listening to the governor's weekly COVID-19 briefing.
So on Sunday evening, when we were made aware of the situation, we had about a dozen of our team at the Department of Education that we identified that could be deployed. They were on site Monday morning, and within a short period of time, the district determined that their district staff were able to cover the classrooms, make sure that safe conditions were available for the children, and then they released the department staff to go back to the department.
Secretary Key, I know a lot of the numbers are due by tomorrow, but is there anything anecdotally that we're hearing from districts seeing shifts one way or another, whether it be to parents who were in class now wanting to go virtual and vice versa?
We are, but it's not one way or the other. It's both ways. We see parents who are requesting to come back on site when they had originally wanted to be virtual, and we're seeing now students who are on site that are finding it necessary to move to virtual. We expected that to be fluid, Jay, and it's going to vary from district to district. It really is a nature of the changing conditions in communities, in the schools, and in those family situations. So that wasn't surprising to us to see that.
Let me come back and make a point on the Little Rock School District, and I think the teachers have really done an extraordinary job, and I applaud them for really resisting the pressure of the union not to be in class yesterday. And one of the criteria of the union was that we don't want to be in the classroom until the positivity is less than 5%, but they also said that we have fewer than 5 new cases a day across the state of Arkansas. And it is setting an impossible bar. And so it's like saying we're going to refuse to do what is necessary for in-classroom instruction, even though they set the bar too high. Is there any questions that we have remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. You mentioned the testing numbers are up, the positivity rates are starting down, and you're hopeful that will mean fewer cases. Are you seeing any correlation yet in the projections from UAMS that bear that out?
You know, their short-term projections are just simply taking our cases and looking out over the next week and saying this is what you project our cumulative hospitalizations are going to be. And the short-term is fairly easy. Whenever you look at the long-term, it's unpredictable at the best. It is not that helpful in terms of developing policy. If you want to look at success, go back and look at the projections from June when they started making those projections, because we have beat those significantly. But the most recent projections, they changed. There'll be another one that comes out today. I think what it serves is it tells people this is serious, and if we don't behave right, then you could have a really, really dark winter. And so it's a good, helpful reminder. It also is encouraging whenever you see that we've accomplished our original objectives, which is to flatten the curve, make sure that we have adequate hospital space, and I think it demonstrates that we are doing that.
Governor Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. Yesterday's Arkansas Health Department report for COVID cases in schools indicated that Magnolia had 19 active cases, while last night the Magnolia School District said there are actually 42 active cases. I'm wondering if there's any way to speed up the statewide reporting of COVID in schools so that parents can have a more accurate picture of what's happening in real time.
Let me call Dr. Seema here for the information. Steve.
Yes, thank you. I think you're referring to the school report that we publish every Monday and Thursday on our website. Magnolia School District did have 19 active cases according to our data. I will say that we have various points of contact in every single school district that are reporting to us on a near real-time basis. We'll investigate to see if there are any delays specifically within that school district.
Someone asked, I think, at one point in the past about the New York Times story that talked about the number of cases that we had cumulative in our K through 12. And then it made us, if you read the story, you realize that we are getting more data and putting it out in a public fashion than most other states are. We think it's important for our parents and our students and the community to understand. We're trying to be transparent about it. And, it's not a perfect system, but we're getting that information out. And then the districts are even adding to that by putting up the data on their local schools as well. Any other question?
Hey, Governor, this is Josh White at AEIT. I was asking, what's on the line for the state and the Department of Education on these October 1 numbers with this carryover funds from the CARES Act? What does everybody, why are all these schools trying to hit certain numbers? What's on the line for this state and this education system?
I'll ask Secretary Key to answer that.
So the October 1 date is important because that is the day that we solidify the enrollment numbers for the for that school year, I don't know that there's any CARES Act. I'm not aware of any CARES Act connection to that, or really any direct federal funding impact on that. But it is an important deadline, and we are working with districts to understand where they are seeing the declines in their enrollment. Right now, we are seeing the biggest impact with kindergarten. The expected numbers of kindergartners based on the previous years is not where it normally would be. We have seen a year-over-year increase in the number of homeschool notices of intent, but that October 1 deadline is important for schools just to solidify those initial enrollment numbers. And it the funding connection is the funding for next year. It's the funding for, in this case, the 21-22 school year. That's also a very important time so that we can identify the free and reduced lunch numbers. That's another challenge districts are having. And that also affects state funding as well as just the number of students that they can bill the USDA for reimbursement for meals. But that's not new to COVID. That's a normal, very important date in the school business.
Next question.
Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to go back to Superintendent Jenkins' death. Wanted to ask you, how concerned are you about this and about, you know, the potential for there being more hospitalizations, more deaths of educators, administrators, kind of the situation in the schools with this? Is, you know, is this a sign of what's to come? And also wanted to ask you about the White House task force report. The second week in a row where they've said that more than a quarter of the counties have high community transmission. And wanted to see if you, how concerned you are about that, and you know, what does there need to be more targeted efforts in those counties with the high transmission?
In terms of the schools, constant lesson is whether you're at church, whether you're at school, whether you're in the grocery store, that it's possible to get COVID if you're not careful, and we want to make schools as safe an environment as possible for the students, for the teachers, and we want to work on that every day. It's necessary, and there's dedicated staff and teachers, but we want to do everything we can to keep everyone safe in that environment. In terms of the White House report, you pointed out that it said 25% of the counties in Arkansas have community spread, a high level of it, and it had 75% of the counties had moderate community spread. Well, that's consistent with what we've been saying, and Dr. Dillahay, that the number of cases we have indicate that we've got community spread in Arkansas. So it's just a reminder that if you go out wherever in Arkansas, then, you know, unless you're social distancing, you're in jeopardy of attracting the virus. And so be careful. And if we are careful individually, then we're not going to contract it, and we're not going to be able to spread it. And, you know, if you really look at the multiplier impact effect, where, you know, you have 700 cases a day that leads to 1,000 cases a day that leads to 1,100 that leads to 1,200 and it keeps going up because it exponentially spreads, it hasn't happened. You know, we have gone up where it is, you know, it was steady. It got up to 1,000, but it didn't keep going up. Now, we'll see where it goes in the future, but it does make a difference on your behavior, and I think that's the lesson from the White House report, and it's also a lesson from history that that's what we've seen in the recent days. Another question remotely. I heard another question.
Yes, yes, Hutchinson, to follow up on the question that was asked earlier about school numbers, we've noticed here in the Northwest Arkansas area a similar trend. For example, yesterday, Bentonville and Rogers, the ADH report reported 13 active cases, though in the Bentonville School District website, it showed 5 and Rogers showed 23. I know you all said it's being looked into. It's not a perfect system, but is there any other specific reasons on what's causing these discrepancies? Is it from the school's end? And which report should the public consider to be most accurate?
And I'm gonna let our expert come up here as well, but you know, the fact is that we report the cases district-wide as we receive that information, and that the districts will, you know, may put the information out based upon the school itself. So there might be a lag, but there should be some consistency in terms of the overall numbers and the trend lines.
Yes, thank you. Just to reiterate, we do put this report out every Monday and Thursday. I'm not sure how frequently the school districts are updating their numbers or what definitions they're using for active cases. I would have to investigate further to see that how they line up in terms of the definitions of active cases and of course the time to see how we match up with our school districts.
Is there a question remotely that has not been asked or that an individual has not asked a question yet?
Governor, you mentioned the rapid coronavirus test being distributed by the federal government. Will that be enough to meet the needs of the community? And will a certain area of the state or group or population get priority for those tests?
Well, of course, we have the rapid test, the antigen test right now that's distributed in our county health units as well as other places in Arkansas. And so we're going to have an infusion of new testing, the APID testing equipment that will come in. It's going to enhance our ability to put it in different places. Your question is, will it be enough? I think the answer is yes. You combine that quick testing capability with our PCR testing, our commercial labs, our Department of Health. We have built the infrastructure, and now we're adding to that the capability of that quick test. You know, we're going to have to prioritize it initially, and it will be in, you know, whether it's schools, which will be a top priority. It could be prisons. As Dr. Romero has said, we might need to do that. But we're going to be working on the specifics of that plan in the coming weeks. So when we get the test, we will deploy it to the areas that are needed and the quick response that is needed. Next question.
This is Melissa Zygowitz with Channel 11. Sort of bouncing off Andrew's question, what is your message to teachers and educators that may be scared or worried upon hearing about the Atkins superintendent's death? You know, you mentioned that people need to not let their guard down, but we're hearing reports of situations where some teachers, it's difficult for them to social distance, and a lot of times kids don't always keep their mask on all day. So what is your message to those teachers?
Well, you know, they need to make sure that they take the protective measures that they if they see a challenge there, that they talk to their school superintendent, and that you know, those guidelines are followed. You know, it's not just about what happens at the school, but it's also about what happens in the community and where they go after school, both where the students do, but also the staff. And so it's really hard to know exactly origins, but the environment that we have in the school right now is probably as safe as you can have in any public environment in Arkansas because of the measures that have been taken. We just want to make sure we don't let those down. And if a teacher is nervous, we hope that, and we understand that, first of all. Anybody who goes out in the public and has to deal with people, there's a natural concern, whether you're a teacher or whether you are in the public life in different ways. So you just have to take those necessary precautions. Secretary Key, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, Melissa, I think, you know, anytime something like this happens, especially in the middle of a school year, it can jar our community. But it also helps us all reflect. And I know that I've talked to superintendents today, and they are reflecting and looking at, again, to redouble their efforts to make sure that safety precautions are in place as much as is possible. And you know, that is part of, obviously, a fatality is never something that we look for. But when they do happen, what does that help us do internally, individually, and with our teams? And those are conversations that I expect are going to be happening the rest of this week and into next week as superintendents, principals, and teachers in districts around the state talk about, are we doing everything we can? And I expect that there will be, again, a redoubling of efforts to make sure that the risk mitigation is as strong as possible.
Jay. I know, again, the numbers aren't due till tomorrow, but I know there was an issue across the state about just kids kind of being just MIA. Have we seen a lot of some of that starting to get cleaned up, whether it be, you know, they're reporting or, you know, they're going a full homeschool option now?
Education Secretary Johnny Keith.
So, you know, we get into the system and we look every day, we see evidence that districts are making corrections and correcting their own numbers or adjustments to their numbers. But next week, we will be ready to roll out a broader approach to how we want to help after we get those October 1 numbers in to go out and identify where these MIA children are.
Jay, you're sort of making up for lost time, aren't you?
Has there been anything looked at in terms of, you know, where we're at in terms of policy of, are we going to change things over in certain sections? Are we going to loosen up? I don't know what else there is to loosen up, really. But is there anything that you guys have looked at here in the past couple of weeks that maybe needs to change, or are we still just going to operate as kind of where we're currently at for the time being?
We don't take anything for granted. We don't have anything that is not something that we shouldn't look at again. And so as we see challenges, we look at what can we do? What more is there out there to do? We learn from other states. We try to increase our testing, make sure our contact tracing is working, and have all the reminders that we can from a public messaging standpoint. I just traveled to Georgia. So I got to see a couple other states and what's happening there. I went into restaurants, and guess what? Everybody's wearing a mask, 2/3 capacity, and people are living, whether it's in Arkansas or other places, under these constraints. And I don't believe whenever we're having 800 cases or down today, but a large number of cases, that you ought to go to full capacity. I don't believe it's the right time to lift restrictions further, but we're anxious to do it. We just got to get where everybody is healthy and we don't have as many people dying. Thank you all very much.
And that was the governor's weekly briefing on the COVID-19 pandemic in Arkansas. Just a quick rundown of those statistics. They're in the last 24 hours, there have been 482 cases, and there's a total of now 80,003. And you are listening to KUAR. We're going to go right back to Here and Now.